Hey guys, welcome to the Delta Flyers. As we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager, your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and my co-host, the one and only Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
One and only. Wow.
There's probably a lot of McNeils.
Robert McNeils, probably a lot of them. Could not be a more common name my parents gave me in 1964. Robert.
Yeah.
It was the name of the decade, I think.
I wonder if they did would there be like over 1,000 Robert McNeils the U.S.?
I'm sure.
U.S. alone for sure, right? 10,000?
I'm going to look up very quickly names 1964. That was my...
Yeah, most popular 1964 baby names.
Yeah, so the most popular Michael, John, David, James, and Robert for boys. And for girls, it was Lisa, Mary, Susan, Karen, and Patricia. There you go.
Wow.
The popular names, the year that I was born, lovely 1964.
Year of the Dragon.
Is that what it was? Year of the Dragon?
Yes. I've talked about astrology with you for years
now.
I know
you have. I can't remember.
Right?
As we've established on this podcast, I don't remember a lot. Dragon, okay.
And I'm monkey. And dragon gets along with monkey and with rat. So 4 years increments, right? 4 years older than you, 4 years younger than you. 8 years, 12 years, 16, 20. And you are 4 years older than me. Uh-huh. Another 12 years older than you becomes another dragon, or 12 years younger. So 12 minus 64 is 52.
You lost me in the math. Math.
Tim Russ is a monkey like me. He's 12 years ahead of me. So I was born in 68. He's 56 monkey. I'm a 68 monkey.
You are a 68 monkey.
I'm a 68 monkey. Yes. So yeah. So monkeys and dragons are buddies, just so you know.
That's nice.
Work well together, whether it's personal or business or any collaboration between monkeys and dragons are good. As you can see, what am I wearing?
You're wearing a tie-dyed hat of some sort with Chicago Bears, maybe?
Yes, this is Megan's hat because they're playing Green Bay today, the Packers. They have to win to have a chance to kind of be in the playoffs. So she said,
you somehow squeeze football into every podcast, don't you?
I'm trying to convert the majority of fandom. Well, let's face it, right? I would say probably 90% of the fans of sci-fi are not fans of football, American football. That's my guess.
So there's only like 10%. Right. Leave it at that.
So I want to raise the percentage up. I want it to be like maybe 15% or 20% of fandom.
We can talk about curling.
We can talk about curling if we, which is one of my favorite channel surfing sports, actually, Robbie.
It's one
if
of my I'm favorite napping sports.
Nap. Come on now. Oh, you're trying to tell me if you're right watching.
Out. It's awesome. It's awesome because I go right to sleep.
If the Winter Olympics are on and I'm channel surfing and I come across curling, I stop and I watch and I am mesmerized by curling. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
There's a couple of go-to napping shows I can put on. Curling is one of them. If I put on like cooking shows, I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out.
Well, I'll be honest, televised golf, professional golf used to make me fall asleep until I became a golfer. Then I'm like, I'm so involved. You know, once you start playing golf, then you can watch golf. But you know, those commentators are speaking so lowly.
They're so soft, such a low gentle. Volume. And a lot of people say that Star Trek, you know, the reruns are typically, traditionally, they've always been late night, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 11:30 reruns of the original series, all TNG. And a lot of people say Star Trek is a great show to go to sleep by. That it's very comforting.
Yeah.
That you can stay engaged or you can just sort of relax and it calms everybody down and gets their mind off their worries and then So
I agree. I agree. So, it is. I've heard that many times from many fans that Star Trek is, in essence, the natural sleeping pill. You know, no adverse effects. So highly recommended.
Highly recommended your, Star Trek reruns.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen. Background was not highly recommended a few episodes back, right?
Yes. So now agreed.
We say Star Trek is highly recommended.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. So this what week's episode. Yeah, yeah, it's resolutions.
Resolutions. Yeah, resolutions. I don't remember a thing.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and watch this episode. And for all of you Patreon patrons, stay tuned for your bonus material. We're back.
We're back. Resolutions. We're back. Oh my God. I did remember that some of this episode right, and I remembered some of it wrong. So what I didn't remember was how much Harry had to do in this episode. Did you remember that? Or was this a surprise?
It was a surprise. It was a nice surprise, but it was definitely a surprise. I was like, wait a minute, I'm all over this one. You know, I mean, my first impression, honestly, remember last episode, I did not like Tom Paris's hair. Well, this episode, I do not like Harry Kim's hair.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Not a fan of Harry's hair. I don't know what was going on, especially the confrontation scene in Tuvok's quarters. I'm like, what is happening with the hair? Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny because in the briefing room, there was a close up of you.
Yeah.
In the briefing room. And I was like, and it had this glamour backlight and your hair looked really good. And I was like, whoa, look at Harry over there in the corner with the fancy lighting.
Are you talking about the shot with which briefing room scene though?
The very first briefing room scene when Tuvok says, and everybody's absorbing it. And
you sure I had a single? I thought that was like more of like a wide shot with
you were in
like
the
a master shot.
You know what? Let's get there.
Let's start. Let's start with our regular synopsis. So your limerick.
My limerick for resolutions is Janeway and Chakotay get sick. The crew thinks Tuvok abandoned them quick. As love starts to mature, the Vidians deliver a cure and the romance crashes like a brick.
Yes.
That's a limerick.
Okie dokie. Here we go. Here's your resolutions haiku. I'm just preparing myself. Here we go. Bug bites cause virus. Vidians can't be trusted. Doc beams aboard serum.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think between our two poems, people will be crystal clear on what this episode is about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I love about this podcast is that we give such insight, like just laser-like focus on what matters, what truly matters.
There you go.
In these episodes. Where do you want to start? You want to talk about who made it, who wrote it?
Written by Jerry Taylor. Yes.
Jerry Taylor wrote this one. I thought so.
Directed by Alex Singer. So Alex Singer.
He was our old school guy on this. Mm-hmm. Alex was probably the most senior director that we had on our show, I would think.
Yep. We've talked about him before. And he's still around, which is wonderful to hear.
Yes, so. It is. Mm-hmm. It is. He was very experienced and I loved his attitude. He was great. So
yeah, really positive guy. So we are big fans of Alex Singer. Mm-hmm. And this whole episode starts off. They're on the planet's surface. I guess they're in those cryostasis tubes or whatever those things are.
They've been in those for 17 days when the episode starts.
I kind of wish that it seemed a little low tech how they just pushed it open. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It would have been nice if they invested in some type of
mechanical opening
that would have been super cool. But, budget is budget. So it is.
I think that they filmed that looked a lot to me like areas of Griffith Park where we filmed on the pilot. We filmed the New Zealand penal colony.
Right.
I feel like that's where we filmed this, or they filmed some of those scenes.
Yeah.
But they did a mashup in this episode of some location work for those wide shots, particularly the teaser, the opening.
Yeah.
That was definitely location. But then a lot of it was filmed on stage again. Yeah.
Stage 16.
We created the big outdoor set. Wait, was it stage 16 or 17? Now I'm spacing out. Stage 16 or 17?
Did I say 16? Is it 17?
I feel like it was 17. Oh my gosh.
We're getting old.
We're getting old. I got to admit, I've worked on a few shows long-term now. So like Chuck had a stage 17.
Ah, so see, that is...
So it could...
It's messing with you.
I could be messing up Chuck stage 17 with Voyager stage 16. You know, all these old studios in Hollywood had numbers for their mm-hmm. stages.
You know how we can solve that, Robbie? You just grab an old call sheet. Just go through your little box of call sheets.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find one call sheet from that
stage. What the number was.
Well, no. So we know it's either 16 or 17.
Our hero stages were 8 and 9.
Right. Nine were the main ones, but that's definitely a lock. We have 8 and 9 correct. 16 or 17, we're not too sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so Griffith Park in the beginning, and they pop out.
I think
out.
It was Griffith Park. It could have been another place. I think sometimes we had shot out at like the Disney Ranch. I think we had shot out there mm-hmm. at times. We'd shot a lot of places in Griffith Park. I think that was Griffith Park. I really
okay.
would. We learned that they've got a virus. The planet is keeping them alive, so that's why they've got to stay there. It's shielding them from the effects of this virus. And the doctor mm-hmm. cannot find a cure. He suggests contacting the Vidians.
Yeah.
Janeway does not want to do that and commands Tuvok to not do that.
Yeah. Well, she consults Chakotay before the final command, right? Do not do this.
Do not do this. So there's mm-hmm. our setup.
Now we pop to the briefing room. No lines for Harry, but, you know, we see that Harry is the most affected by this.
Well, we see that because, here's what I was going to get at before. The very last shot, everybody leaves the briefing room mm-hmm. and there's Harry sitting there all alone. He stays, mm-hmm. here's the wide shot and you see everybody leaving and Harry just sort of turns and sits there. I thought that was interesting. I found it odd when we first started the episode. I was like, why is Harry just hanging out?
Mm-hmm.
But then it made sense later on.
Yeah.
Because he is the one who is obsessed and really focused on this. So it really turned out to track in the story. But, you know, my first impulse was like, oh my God, why didn't Garrett just get up and leave like the rest of us? It's like, why is he still hanging out there?
Like I forgot to get up. Yeah. I forgot my stage blocking. I didn't know what was happening. I'm like, I'm just going to sit here a little while longer. Yeah.
No, it totally made sense as we got into that.
It's funny because as I watched this episode, multiple times when you see Harry, you know, sitting in the room, then you see Harry fighting to go contact the Vidians, trying to convince Tuvok. Megan kept saying, really? You care that much about the captain who really didn't care much about you when you died in the episode? Because it's true. You remember that, right?
Yeah,
when B'Elanna
right.
says Harry's dead and Ensign Kim is dead and Janeway's sort of, Ensign Kim is dead and Kes has vanished. And what was Janeway's reaction? Nothing about Harry, but Kes vanished was the only response.
Well, I will say, this makes me think, I didn't think of this as I was watching it, but now it's important to talk about is that, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of times with us as actors, we very often, at least for me, we didn't play the sort of serialized, like the adding up of all these episodes because they mm-hmm. were written, each episode was written very standalone.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't refer to much that had happened before. It was very rare. Sometimes, like, you know, the Vidian doctor shows up in this episode and that was in a previous episode, but very rarely does anything return. And even when it does, like in this episode, the Vidian doctor showing up, they don't lean into the doctor and what was her name, Pell?
Dinar Pell, yes.
Dinar Pell. They didn't write to the emotional history that those two had.
Right.
It was literally just a business exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So because they didn't write those scripts that sort of added up episode to episode, these long-term emotional threads very much. It was never a priority in the writing. I think as actors, I'll speak for myself, very often I didn't try to make those connections because they weren't there in the script.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have said to myself, I doubt, wow, the captain didn't seem to care about me when I died. So how does mm-hmm. that affect me here? I wouldn't have thought about it because they didn't write the scripts that way. And the reason I bring all this up is to say, one of my biggest problems with this episode is that they've teased all along, Chakotay and Janeway have maybe a little chemistry. In this mm-hmm. episode, it is crystal freaking clear that they have chemistry. It's almost too clear. It's like so on the nose, and the melodrama and the soapiness of it all. And then it's like, I don't think that it gets dealt with. I mean, we'll see as we watch more episodes, but I don't recall this ever being really an important story narrative issue. They just didn't deal with it anymore. Like, yeah, that thing happened and now we're back to work, and we're never going to really, it's not written. It wasn't played. And that I find to be something I think that could have been better, that sort of making, tracking those emotional experiences like your death and how that might affect, you know, all this stuff connects. And it would have been nice if we could have had a little more of that on the page, or been encouraged to make those choices by our directors and our writers on the show. And everything was written as a real standalone sort of perspective. So anyway.
Yeah, the writing from a standalone perspective was by design. Writers and producers, they made that decision early on that this show would be more, each episode would be more high concept. They would, you know, someone could channel surf and come across Star Trek Voyager and watch it and not have to really know much about what happened before. You know, they could just be, you know, to maybe garner new fans or something, or to increase the fan base. But that was their decision beforehand. But that brings up an interesting point. What would this show have been like if it was not that, if it wasn't written that way, if it was written where everything kind of built upon all the prior experiences? That would have been a really a different show, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
It would have been a lot harder for us as actors to track all of that and to remember, oh, here's a moment where what happened last season really kind of resonates, but it was never encouraged and it was never highlighted. And so I don't think we made a good habit. At least I didn't.
Right.
A good habit of kind of going, wait a minute, where can I make connections to things that have tracked in this show? Yeah. Because often things were contradicted, to be quite honest. Like often, you know, an attitude in one episode to fit that story, a character would completely flip to the other side to serve the story. And it certainly served the episodic story, but often it came into conflict with how we had behaved in the past. So it could be tricky. And yeah, I think this one, just while we're paused in our recap, this one to me really missed an opportunity to explore that relationship, that romance, because clearly it was there. It was like, it was almost like they wanted to write a romance episode without ever committing to romance. And I wish as I rewatched it, I remember a lot more. I remember that there were rewrites in this because there were kisses. There was much more clear things happened.
Mm-hmm.
This episode was very controversial. I remember Kate loving this episode and wanting more.
Yeah.
And I remember the writers. Here's what I remember, if I'm being totally honest. I think Beltran didn't like it. He felt like, where did this come from? Like, all of a sudden I'm supposed to be in love and we haven't really. And so he didn't like it. Janeway loved it because it was a softer, more personal, intimate side of her character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think either one of them were super happy because it didn't go either way. It was like, all right, moving on in our story.
Back on the planet. Yeah. The supplies, they get the supplies. They're building their love hut.
Yeah. I thought it was funny because, you know, Janeway says early on, she says, you know, Chakotay, it occurs to me, we're not in a command structure anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should call me Catherine.
Yeah.
Then she coyly looks at him and leaves. And there's a long pause. And Chakotay says, give me a few days on that one, okay? big smile. And he follows her. They were going, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They were going there.
Mm-hmm. I do agree.
And then we go to engineering. B'Elanna's mean to that ensign.
She's downright a meanie. And then what is that ensign's name? Ensign who?
I don't know. I don't. You say it maybe later.
Do I?
I think because you talked really? To them. I don't know.
Well, see, I didn't even, I forgot. I had completely forgotten about that guest star until this episode. And then I was like, oh, I remember her. And what I remember is, I made her laugh off camera. Nice. Yeah, you know me. I'm the real life Neelix, the real life morale officer of Voyager, and I made sure that everybody was having a good time, and I remember making her laugh. But other than that, I don't remember much beyond that. But I say Baylana.
You in that said engineering it a lot, scene. Baylana.
Baylana, which is the way she pronounces it, Baylana, right? Instead of Bulana, and I've been doing Bulana for most of the series, and all of a sudden, I come out with Baylana.
You said Baylana a couple of times in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe I was, you know, I don't know.
I feel like that was an early version of maybe Chakotay said Baylana. And so some people kind of copied that version early on, and others just said Baylana. And I think by the end, everybody got used to the Baylana.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely say Baylana.
Yeah.
And you're a little flirty, by the way.
I am.
A little flirty with my girl.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're kind of leaning forward.
Hey. See, that's just how it is when there's a true connection between two characters. You get to lean in closer.
You lean in.
Yeah.
That's the clue.
I know I've talked about this before, but I'm going to say it again. When my mom pronounced, she said it wrong. She's like, so what's up with banana Torres? It's not banana Torres, mom. That's a dessert. Banana. The goodbye speech by Janeway.
Yes.
So casual. She just goes right into it. She's like, okay, I'm on the planet. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
And we're all kind of gathered around.
I think one reason that you might have thought it was casual, I noticed this, okay, a little director's perspective on this. Mm-hmm. The camera did not move very much in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a lot of dolly shots or tracking shots. And this speech, as we cut around the world to all the other characters, there were these very dramatically composed frames, but they were static. It almost looked like paintings of each group listening.
Okay.
And it just reminded me of Rick Berman, our showrunner's words, of if the actors aren't moving, move the camera.
Right.
And if the camera's moving, then you don't need to move the, you know, or if the camera's not moving, then the actors need
to move. The actors move, yeah.
But anyway, I it reminded me of that because the camera didn't move. And I feel like it could have had more impact, even with her performance, even with the words exactly the same, if the camera had just been pushing in slowly to people or panning across their faces or some movement to this montage over the speech, I think it would have helped.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I agree. So that would have been more, what's the term? But the casualness of it was just because it was, like you said, here's a little portrait, a painting of this group listening, right? And then this is a quick static painting portrait of this group speaking or Janeway speaking. So yeah, you're right. I think some camera movement would have helped in the scene.
I think it would have helped.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We go back down on the planet, and that nightgown that Kate is wearing.
But
and
inside.
Yeah. I'm kind of shocked that they didn't beam down her peach nightgown.
I know.
Really? Why is she not wearing that? And no, she wears.
Did you
that
skip
very...
the bath? Did you skip her bath? I think you did. Let's go back to the bath.
Okay, let's go to the bath.
That camera's pushing through the trees, and she's in the bath. And I was like, this lady's naked outside. Yeah. And
well,
and there's no bubbles in that bath.
No, there was steam. You know what was blocking the view? It was steam.
I was nervous. I was like, I don't think I should be looking at this. I know Kate Mulgrew. I don't want to see her tatas.
I almost feel like that was added in CGI steam because I
feel like it was too.
It covered because that water was crystal clear. And yep. From that angle, there would have been nipplage. Okay.
Whoa.
And that steam totally covered the tatas.
Yeah, I don't know. It surprised me. I was like, whoa, that's and then she's out there a long time luxuriating.
Right.
And then
the monkey shows up.
The monkey shows
and then
up.
That's when she gets up. And man, that camera is literally if that camera was tilted any lower,
maybe they
you
were trying
seen full
to get
tatas.
Some ratings. Maybe they were looking for some promotion moments where they could show a little skin. I mean, no, you
possibly
know, I get it. It makes sense. But I was like, wow, that's awfully. Yeah, that's all, you know.
Yeah.
I forget what that show After Dark was or whatever. It felt like those old, what were those shows that were kind of cheesy? Romance After Dark or something. It's like,
what?
There was something back in the 80s that was like, I forget what network had it. It was like late night cheap television. It was like romance shows. And I can't remember. I can't remember. That's what came to mind as I saw her in the, it felt very 80s and you know, the steam and everything was just music video perfect. And
yeah, but it is a romantic gesture on Chakotay's part to build her very own bathtub.
Yes, it is very romantic. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Do you remember the monkey? Anything about the monkey?
I don't remember anything about that monkey. What do you remember about the monkey?
What I remember about the monkey is it was a big deal that they had this monkey. And I remember Marvin Rush, the DP, talking about it and the crew talking about the monkey. And I remember, I think it was at the props department that had to deal with the monkey. You know, they were very nervous. And I remember at one point, there was a lot of conversations about the monkey, hiring the monkey and what the monkey was going to be like. And there was worry that it was just going to look like a monkey and not an alien. And I think they were prepping some like prosthetics to put on a monkey.
Oh,
they literally, I remember all this talk. It was a big conversation and they were going to put prosthetics on a monkey to make it look more alien. And then finally they chose not to, I guess. And they just went with a straight monkey. But
yeah,
I do remember the prosthetics conversation and like props guys talking about all that. I would have been interested to see that prosthetics on a monkey.
Well, I don't think that would have worked. I think that would have been a disaster. I think that monkey would have ripped it right off and just thrown it at Janeway. You
maybe
know?
They tried. I don't know if they ever, maybe that's why it didn't happen, because they tried and he ripped it off.
Yeah, those the monkey scenes were very humorous for me. I laughed every time that primate showed up. So I felt like, my goodness, like this is rule number one. Just don't work with kids and don't work with animals, right?
That's right.
I mean, you're dealing with it right now. You're dealing with animals all day. So but I just I don't remember there was a monkey debate. But then again, you were shadowing and also you were in all the production meetings to learning.
Yeah.
So this, you would have heard that and you would have remembered that.
I remember the prosthetics conversations about monkeys.
Yeah. Like, what could you have done? Add an extra tail on that thing?
I can't remember. I wish I could remember what they were talking about.
A couple of Katarian horns.
Like putting something like a piece over the head or something. It might've been a chest thing with a headpiece. I feel like it was a pretty extravagant conversation. Cause I remember Rick Berman was like, it's got to look like an alien. It can't just look like something you see at the zoo, like an earth monkey. It's got to look. So, anyway, let's see what else. We go inside the hut for the first time, by the way.
Yeah.
This temporary shelter that they've formed out of those little things that, you know, the gray and beige triangles that he pulled out. Mm-hmm. Boy, he did a nice job assembling that place. It looked
he really did.
Wow. This is a nice house. Like, solid work.
Yeah. That was better than IKEA. It really was. No kidding. I was like, my goodness.
It was all in those boxes from the first scene, that whole place. Mm-hmm.
Hey, the other thing is, after they discover the monkey and Janeway's wearing the towel, look at that moment where Chakotay looks down at her bare shoulder and it's just kind of staring at
her. Oh, yeah, he's staring at her.
He's just like, oh, my gosh, I don't know what to do. And he removes himself from that situation. But yes, that prompts her to have the speech with him later about
boundaries,
parameters, you know, whatever she comes up with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed that there was that initial like, because if you think about it, how often has he seen her bare shoulder like that? Probably never.
Probably never.
Okay. So,
well, if she had worn that shiny nightgown from the ship, he would have lost control. It just would have been too much.
You think that was her decision? That was a decision.
Yeah, she was like, I'm not going to bring the shiny nightgown because it's going to be too much.
Tuvok, do not beam down the peach shiny nightgown. Please just beam a very nondescript Amish looking nightgown so Chakotay won't be excited.
By the way, speaking of what they beam down clothing wise, every scene Janeway had a new outfit. Every scene. I'm like, how much luggage did they send down? How much wardrobe she's got? And where does she do all this laundry? To like, you know, she's got a new outfit every scene. I'm telling you, watch it again. Every scene is a different outfit. I mean, they're all great, but part of me is like, how? And Chakotay basically has like two outfits the whole time. Okay, what's next?
They're on the bridge, and Kim is debating Tuvok about contacting the Vidians, and then I have my freak out. And I made a note about this. I said that freak out was almost identical to the last episode when Tuvix had his freak out on the bridge, because I run around going, aren't any of you going to do anything? I even say something to you and you don't say anything. You don't stand up for me. You're my best friend and you don't even stand up for me. And I
gave you a look though. You were about to go in the brig and I saved your butt from the brig because I gave you the look like, dude, don't do this.
Yeah.
Like,
you gave me the dude look. I know. Yeah. And I looked at you and I acknowledged that you were giving me the dude look, right? It just reminds me, a stand-up comedian was talking about how dude is something that you can say dude for any occasion, because dude can be, you know, excited to see someone, dude, or someone's doing something that's not right, dude, like that, you know, you can do dude in so many different ways. Sure. And you gave me the dude look.
I
listened to you because I almost went to the brig, but I didn't. I was relieved of duty, which was kind of hardcore. I think that's the first time I've ever been relieved of duty.
Well, you also got threatened later on with being relieved of duty for
permanently.
Yes, permanently. But we'll
forever. Yes. How scary is that? All right. So we jump from the bridge to the mess hall scene.
Yes, we do.
And this
by
is
the
where...
way, it's like Gossip Corner. It's like the Tom and Harry Gossip Corner in there.
It is.
Everybody's like, and then you move over to this table. Hey, let's talk about that. You know what's going on? Did you hear? What do you know? What do you know?
So Hogan's there and Hogan is like, hey, we're with you, you know? And then I go over to B'Elanna. Neelix shows up. Why on God's earth is he holding a cucumber and an eggplant? I'm not sure, but he has.
That's what I was talking about with Ethan Phillips. His absurd sense of humor. He's always got to do something. Yeah. He probably wanted to do that.
No, I'm like, sure that was
grab
his,
the weirdest things that, as if I was in the middle of the eggplant and the cucumber recipe.
And I'm sure that wasn't direction by Alex Singer. No, I don't think he said,
Ethan. Now Neelix, I want you to grab an eggplant and a cucumber and then go talk to Harry.
And no, he didn't say that.
No,
that was an Ethan Johnny Phillips move, which I approve. I like bizarre stuff like that. That was so bizarre. And it wasn't a full cucumber and a full eggplant. They were both cut exactly in the same place. Like he was in the middle of work and he came right on over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The plan is being hatched.
Being hatched. We cut to Tuvok's quarters.
Quarters.
I got to just stop for a minute about Tuvok and say, Tim Russ got the nicest quarters of anybody. Better than the captain's, better. Because we cut inside there and he's in his Vulcan robe with his purple lights and his mood lighting going on. It's all purple and moody.
Yeah.
First thing I think is like, oh, Tuvok's hanging out at the club. Like, that looks like a nightclub.
Well, looks did like you see the candle? Music. Did you see the candle?
Yes, I did.
But if you look at it very quickly, it looks like a female torso and breasts.
Really?
With nipples and tassels hanging off of them. Like, if you look at the candle holder, it looks like a paint, like a holographic image of a female torso. It looks like tatas. Maybe. Once again, tatas. This episode is just all about tatas, it seems. Yeah. But anyway, if you look at it again, you'll see.
I will look at it again. But it looks like a nightclub, the whole thing. It's very stylish.
He's lounging in there.
Yeah. Harry comes in with a very compelling argument, I think. Very compelling.
Okay. Before we go into the argument, I just want to say the way they lit me kind of in the shadow there, I honestly thought, I mean, I knew it wasn't true, but my first reaction was he's going to kill Tuvok. Like he's like in the shadows.
Scary.
Yeah. And this is the mutiny. It's on, you know? Yeah. So, I think any fan watching probably was thinking the same thing. They're like, what's happening? Is he going to jump Tuvok and say that you're no longer captain?
Very moody. Yeah. Very moody environment for sure.
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. So Harry suggests the solution. Basically, the argument is that we have leverage. We have Dinara Pell, who is our friend, and we have Torres's DNA, which they know could possibly help end the phage. So that is the argument that Harry brings forth to Tuvok. And Tuvok absolutely stands by his guns and says, no, I can't do that. And if you keep pushing this subject, you will not only be relieved of duty, you'll be relieved of duty permanently.
Permanently.
Okay? So, yeah.
And he says, the only words I want to hear out of your mouth at this point are, yes, sir.
Right. Yeah.
And you very resentfully, filled with venom.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Sir.
And so actually, I did kill him. I killed him with my looks at the end, and I killed him with my yes, sir. It was like, yes, sir, die. It was very psycho.
It felt like a very, very lot of conflict, a lot of frustration and feelings. Mm. It was great. Good scene. Very good scene. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
We go down to back to the planet and we learn that he cooks. Chakotay is cooking.
Yeah, man.
He hates it. So I love the gender roles are kind of swapping.
Yeah.
Which is great. Again, on our show with a female captain. I love that. I love when those moments happen. I have to say, as they're talking, I took a photo
of
this because Robert Beltran is manspreading. He's manspreading. Yes. Got up there and manspread. If for those that don't have video, just audio, I took a photo on my phone. I'm like, what are you doing manspreading right up next to her face?
Megan brought this up. Like when he made that move towards her, and I called it the Captain Morgan move, right? He lifts the one leg up.
Yeah.
Megan's like, notice how he says that as he's doing that move, he says to Janeway, does it make you uncomfortable? Like that. And he does it right when he says that. And Megan's like, he's showing the bulge right there. He's just showing her like, look what can be yours. You know, I mean, it was like, it was very bizarre. Like that, I don't know who you know precipitated that action, whether it was a Robert Beltran move or Alex Singer saying, look, you need to somehow get closer to her.
It's funny, like when you're making TV shows or movies and things like this, it takes a village to stay on top of some of these things. Like this, I feel like someone should have said to Robert, hey, when you get up there and you sort of spread your leg right up, it feels a little inappropriate. It feels like too far. Because often when I'm on a show, you know, and let's say an actress is wearing a skirt or something, and they sort of turn towards camera and they don't realize that the camera is sort of facing in a direction that's, you know, not that anybody's seeing up the skirt is not what I'm saying, but it just, it's like, you know, if you turn yourself just a little bit to this side or the other, it'll feel more appropriate. It will feel, it won't be anything that anyone thinks of. Mm-hmm. And so, it takes a village of people looking and going, oh, that little, you know, protecting the actors. And I feel like this was the situation. I feel like there was nobody like protecting us, like Kate or Robert or whoever. We would just do what we did. And like, If you're manspreading right in her face, you know, so be it.
You call it manspreading. I call it a male lap dance is what I call it. That's pretty much what it was about to happen.
But they talk. He says, you know, you got to let go of some of the work. She's like, nope. I just want to work. And then the monkeys come back and he's freaking out and the storm hits. And I got to say about that storm, it was an amazing job by our production department. All of those trees moving, the wind, the light, the lighting effect. I feel like I was there actually on this day. Yeah. I feel like there were a number of what we call Ritter fans, which are the big movie fans, the giant fans that are the size of an old airplane propeller. Mm. And there were a number of those fans around blowing all the trees, the lights, you know, the lightning effect is very hard to do realistically, especially on a big set like that.
Yeah.
I thought they did a great job. The camera work was great. It was very dynamic.
Yeah.
I thought
it looked real.
That's it looked sure. really, yeah. Big production with all that wind and lightning, and they did a great job.
So. Yeah. And even though I wasn't there during, you know, that particular day, I knew from watching that's not one fan. there's more than one for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So that all happens. And Kes, we go back to the ship. Kes tells Tuvok about her dad and convinces
in the ready room. He's in the ready room.
Yes. He's in the ready room now. He's captain. And she tells Tuvok about her father.
Yeah.
And basically convinces Tuvok about the importance and the weight of emotions and mental health of the crew.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Kes convinces him.
You know, Kes has been very integral in a lot of the recent episodes. Like, she's literally, if you think about it, and this is, again, something that Megan pointed out. She said, look at the last episode. Notice how she's the one that really went to Janeway. And said that, you know, I want Neelix back.
Yeah.
And you need to end Tuvix. You know what I'm saying? And as bad as I feel about telling you that I want you to, you know, end Tuvix's life. And she's crying about it. I want Neelix back. And so she basically saves Neelix and Tuvok in the prior episode. And in this episode, it's because of her that she said that we have Chakotay and Janeway saved, right? So Kes Kes is like the crewman whisperer, right? The Starfleet whisperer. She's able to just kind of like convince people, right? With her ways. So she did that.
Agreed.
Tuvok comes out on the bridge to tell the crew, everyone. And of course, when he comes out, I was watching my face and man, I'm still giving him stink eye. Like, I am giving Tuvok stink eye. But I'm still killing him in this.
You're killing him in the scene with your eyes. And then he says, we're going to do this. And I see you put your head in your hands. Like, you said a little prayer. And I was like, wow.
Was like, thank God he's going to do it. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, Harry's going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really feel like Harry was one step away from doing something to Tuvok if he didn't agree.
I think... Harry was, I didn't remember Harry being such an important part of this episode. You talk about Kes, but you know, none of this would have happened. We would never have gotten this far if Harry hadn't pushed and pushed and pushed. So, so kudos to you.
Why, thank you.
We go back to the planet. The storm tears up all Janeway's research and she finally says,
destroyed.
Yeah. I guess she says she's forced to let go, to let go of hope and the work and,
right.
And just accept her fate that they're here and make the best of it. So we go back to the ship and Dr. Pell communicates with Voyager and they say they're 70 light years away, but they have the antiviral serum.
Right.
The Deans they can fix it.
Yeah.
As a precaution, Tuvok is like, let's just get ready. Let's undergo battle drills just in case, but you know, we're probably good. They're going to give us this serum.
Yeah.
Luckily smart guy. He turns out to be right.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they're talking to Dinara Pell, I definitely felt like, boy, this is just too easy. This is just too easy. You're just going to hand over this serum. We're going to meet at these coordinates. Everyone's going to be good. Okay. You know, I do think that was silly of those Vidians. They could have gotten some DNA from Torres if they played along, you know, played the game with us.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They were too... they were too greedy. They wanted all 170 of those bodies to harvest again.
Yeah. So we go back down to the planet. Janeway's clearing logs now. She's got another set of clothes on. And just again, I was like, oh my God, how many outfits does she have?
Yeah.
But she's finally positive. I think Chakotay even says it's the first time that I think I've heard you say something positive. And yeah. The monkey.
Is the massage here?
Now she's like, oh, the massage. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Got to have a massage. And I got to say, I felt uncomfortable watching the scene. I know Kate. I know Robert. This just made me uncomfortable watching this massage scene, I got to say.
Okay.
It was very loaded with pheromones and sensual love, sex energy. Yeah. Didn't want to look.
This is the angry warrior story also scene, right? Isn't this right? Where he has
I think he's told that story. Did he?
No, because like it's coming up after
the massage. Yes.
After the massage, then he tells her the story.
After the massage, she has a moment where, because he's massaging her, and then he stops rubbing her neck.
Mm.
And you see her face, her eyes are closed, and then you see his hands stop. And all of a sudden she realizes, oh, he stopped rubbing my neck.
Mm-hmm.
So what's he doing? What's happening? They both freeze. And then I think she says, I'm going to go lay down. And she goes and lays down and has this like very flustered expression. And then there's a bit of a time cut. We come back and she comes out and she says, I think we need to draw some boundaries. And that's when he says, let me tell you.
The angry warrior story.
The people of my people. There's a legend. My people say this. Mm-hmm. Hakuchi Moya. He talks about true peace here.
Right, right. But it still moves her. It still moves her.
Moves her very much, yeah.
And even just talking about peace, in a way, that is him saying, I love you, in a way, I feel. And then the interlocking hand holding happening.
I think there was a kiss here originally in the script. I think there was a kiss and a suggestion that they might have even gone further. Mm-hmm. And that was where the original scene ended, something like that. But I think they took it way, way back. And then we cut to the out of that soft, gentle, emotional moment. We go back and there's a battle and the Vidians, and we got to be super tricky and shut down our shields to bring the serum over, but drop this bomb that we're going to blow up and take care of them. So the trick works. We get the serum, we blow up the ships, and we head back to where Janeway is. And
I feel like we've done this before.
That move?
That one move. Or maybe I saw it in a movie or something.
It's but a good not, move.
To eject an antimatter container and then shoot a photon torpedo at it.
Yeah.
And by the way, Harry was the one that shot the torpedo. So,
nice job, buddy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Nice job.
But then you did the impulse. You got us out of there so we didn't get blown up or hit.
Yeah, I got
damaged.
Turn the engines, crank the engines up.
Yeah.
we go back to the planet. Janeway's gardening. I love the moment where Chakotay says something like, you always have an opinion, don't you? And she goes, yep. and he's just about to build her a boat. Mm. Like, how romantic is that? Building her a boat.
Yeah.
And she seems so excited about it. And then Tuvok's like, we'll be there in 30 hours.
I mean, it was, so bittersweet. But as much controversy as this episode, as you talk about it, this episode was controversial. It was still very nice to see a softer side of Janeway. You definitely saw a different side of her.
It was great. I wish we could have seen more. I wish they, I feel like there's some version of, they could have gone even further with their true feelings and consummated and had a deeper connection and then realize that, okay, if we have to go back to the ship, we just can't. And they could have made an agreement that we're not going to, what happens on planet stays on the planet. Like, and move on.
Yeah. Then they would have had lizard babies and it would have been all great. So.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And then you...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is your theme?
Theme is, I have two themes I came up with. It was hard. One of them was, sometimes breaking the rules can lead to what you really need.
There you go.
That's my first theme. I think that's my real theme.
Yeah.
My other theme was that kind of the inverse of that. Sometimes following the rules can cause you to miss out on true love. Like, I think Janeway was trying to follow the rules and do the work and she just couldn't let go of the rules. And so they missed out on true love. So breaking the rules, following the rules.
Yeah, I agree. I wrote down, sometimes rules are meant to be broken. And that is exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a good recap episode. Yeah, not bad. Okay. All right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in this week. Join us next week when we review the final episode of season 2, Basics Part 1.
Don't forget, if you're a Patreon patron, stick with us because we've got some amazing interviews coming up just for our patrons. We've got Voyager writer Lisa Klink. We've got Robert Beltran. And believe it or not, we've got the amazing Kate Mulgrew to talk about their memories of this episode. If you're not a Patreon patron, you can become one. Check us out. Search for the Delta Flyers at patreon.com. And you can sign up to be a member for as little as $3 a month. Check it out.
Thanks a lot, guys. And everybody, Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.